It's fun to publish your own ideas and not have to go through the rigmarole of trying to get someone else to publish it. Yeah, it's freedom.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
William Papel Erskine. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Clover Comics. I founded it with my three other friends, Jesse Coons, Spencer Coons, and Gabe Jenny. There's four of us, along with a few other friends who are like freelance workers. In fact, Gabe considers himself freelance just because he doesn't, you know, he says right on his portion of the website, "I just don't feel like doing its work all the time, so I'm a freelancer."
Now, when did you start getting interested in comics?
Well, when I was younger, every once in a while I'd buy a comic book, but in the early 90s, comics were getting kind of gruesome and gritty, and, you know, some of them I'd buy and would be a little bad, and my mom would, you know, kind of censor them, which was good, because it taught me that not all entertainment is the right type of entertainment. So, you know, that taught me, you know, the difference of values and stuff in comics, how entertainment can be, you know, people would just go for the regular stuff sometimes, and how sometimes you could have a good story other than just the artwork that was usually dark and gruesome in those days. But I never really became a tremendous comic book fan for a long time until in grade 2 they started the whole Pokemon craze and everything. And I was going to school and I got caught up in Pokemon cards. And I found out that there was a store on Kerr Street in Oakville called Comic Connections. And I started going there to buy Pokemon cards all the time. And it was really a comic store, but, you know, they sold all the cards. And I was going there for years and years and years, all throughout the different fads of card games and stuff. And eventually I just sort of stopped, you know, caring as much about the cards. And I noticed, you know, they had a 50-cent bin at the back of the store full of all these great old comic books. And I'd, you know, go there and I'd buy those. And you'd get some, you know, old Incredible Hulks from the 1970s, which, you know, they're 50 cents because someone cut out a coupon for a mail-away baseball card, but cut out the last panel of the thing. But they're still the stories and they're fun. And so I started reading all those old ones. I never was into the newer stuff for a long time. So I just liked the old things. And then eventually, slowly, I became a little more interested in the newer kind of work. Yeah. And mainly I have to owe that to one writer named Brian Michael Bendis. And he started out as he did non-mainstream work. Like he wrote crime novels and crime graphic novels and stuff. Yeah. And but then he started working for Marvel. And the main thing that happened that changed a lot of stuff was he wrote Avengers number 500. And I got Avengers number 500, I took it home, and I read it, and something amazing happened. I actually cared about the Avengers. I started liking them. And so I read the next four issues. It was like the end of them, basically. It was the final thing. And it was all. And Brian Michael Bendis was amazing. I loved the work. And that got me buying all these different titles, including Wolverine, which I became a big fan of. So slowly, I became more interested in the modern-day mainstream comics. I still shied away from, Image Comics, Dark Horse, Oni Press, and stuff like that. But then, once again, I owe it again to Brian Michael Bendis, sort of. I was going through the 50-cent bins. I still like those. And I came across a comic. It was published by Oni Press. It's called Fortune and Glory, a true Hollywood comic book story by Brian Michael Bendis about him trying to get a movie based on one of his graphic novels. And I read that, and that was probably one of the first non-mainstream things I ever read. and I really, really liked it. But, you know, since then I've still continued reading mainstream stuff, but I've just started caring more about the independent. I mean, they're not underground, they're just independent and just non-mainstream.
I'm also interested in how you started drawing as well.
How
did you get into that?
I just started when I was 2 or 3 and just kept on going, and I've gotten progressively better and better since then. I'm pretty much self-taught. I've taken a few courses, but mainly just for fun. I've always been interested. I've done nothing but pen work for a while, for a number of years. I stayed away from pencils, and now I'm back to doing both pencil and ink, and that helps with comics. Okay, I'll tell you about the company, and that will lead to the work. It was back in May. Early May, I started making comics on the computer, using only Paint program, no Photoshop or anything like that. I don't have that. And they're all just one-panel things called comic, basically, and the series kind of originated from a sleep-deprived thought. My friend Jesse really liked these. Jesse's real creative, real wild guy. He's basically the only fan of comic. He's the only person who bothers to read that. But I started realizing, you know, we should do this, because for a number of years I've thought, you know, I want to work in comics. Maybe I should have my own company, and I'd come up with the name a while before that, maybe when I was 15 or something, yeah. Clover Comics. Anyways, so it was on May 5th, the next May 6th would have been Free Comic Book Day, and I decided I have these, a collection of these, you know, one panel comics I've done, and a few others from Jesse and Spencer and Gabe. They've all made some things, and I decided, well, I'm going to put them together on a WordPad program, and it would be just like a webzine. Not online, because they would just go out, I'd just email it to my friends. But put that together all on the spur of the moment, pretty much. And that became Super Comic Fun Time Whiz Bang, issue 1, the Spiffified edition. And I sent that out to a few of my friends, a lot of them who are here in drama, and got a good response. And lots of people liked that. And so I decided, let's go for this. Let's do this for real. So over the next month, we made another issue, this time of what we planned on being an ongoing series called More Adventure Comics. That I actually used pencil artwork from that I was originally planning on inking it, but we didn't have enough time, and we published that on a CD and handed out to a few of our friends. And then I decided, you know what, to heck with it, let's go full tilt boogie. And we have been working on making it a real comic since then, and we're going to go to print, come up with a number of good ideas. I've had some work submitted by Spencer, who he does short stories, and that's one of the neat things, is that we're not just comics. We're trying to do it like the 1940s. They had comics and short stories in there, and even sometimes news and stuff, but we're not into news.
It's excellent. Let's see some of your work.
Okay. Anyways, some of the... we try to avoid superhero work, mainly because, I don't know, I'm a big fan of superheroes, but because, you know, they've all been done, sort of. So there's no point, you don't want to get accused of ripping anything off. And so as you can see here, some of them are just one-page things. This one's kind of a surreal, I don't even name it. I got its idea when I traveled out west recently to visit Jesse and Spencer, and they live in Seattle. Now the main thing, like what is the closest to a regular comic that I've been working on, is called 2239. And it's set in the year 2239. It's kind of a sci-fi. Not really decided if it's going to be soft science fiction or hard science fiction, meaning like soft science fiction would be, you know, vegetation on Mars and stuff like that, and moon people and stuff. And hard science fiction would be basically what we have today. And so it's kind of in between. The first story arc is called On the Moon, and it stars a character I created called Roger Stern. I got the name by combining Roger from Buck Rogers with I wanted kind of a tough sounding name that would be maybe in the British comic 2000 AD. And so I thought Stern sounded like a tough thing, because their famous character is Judge Dredd. But then later I found out actually that there is a comic book writer named Roger Stern, and I think I might have gotten subliminally influenced. Yeah, yeah. He's the creator of the Hobgoblin, who is one of my favorite villains. Anyway, so I'm going to downplay the name a bit here. It used to be called Roger Stern 2239, but I decided not to. One of the main things with the comic 2239 is I'm not having it be all, you know, gadgetry and outer space, oh, look at the bright new future, because, I mean, it's not going to be dark by all means, it'll be a little upbeat, it's just I don't think things are going to change that much, so you're going to see stuff that might be happening in modern day, clothing styles won't change that much. And but of course, in the first arc, you know, you got to have aliens though. So it's going to be kind of an intrigue thing, kind of a mystery going on. I don't want to give away too much. Another thing is the short story series that my friend Spencer's working on. It's called Sir Benningham. It's kind of a parody of the old Prince Valiant. There's even a bit of Conan the Barbarian in there. And it's mainly just because it's funny. That's the thing. It's silly, it's funny, but at the same time, it's dramatic. He can write realistic dialogue. There's basically no logic. I mean, there's logic, but just it's set in its own world. By no means is it meant to be this world.
Okay.
There's no specific time period or anything. So we're going to be publishing that as a serial. It's going to be kind of an anthology title. Here's just some doodles I did here in the work, designing different things. That's mainly where a lot of character designs come from, is doodles that you do or old artwork of mine that I've looked back on. I have to mention this. It's a real great comic graphic novel series that we have nothing to do with, but it's still one of my favorites and I'd like people to know about. It's called Scott Pilgrim and it's written by Brian Lee O'Malley.
Did you need a license to do this or did you just go ahead and...
We're not going to make that much money. We're going to, at first, I mean, we might. Going to try to get his vendor's license. But it's kind of independent,
right.
Not exactly underground. The thing is, people, when they hear underground, start thinking of stuff like R. Crumb. Nothing against R. Crumb. It's just sometimes underground's pretty much the same as mainstream. It can just deal with other types of things, like more like stuff you'd see on TV and stuff, you know, which is Oni Press's deal. I like Oni Press, although there it's hard to come by. Just want to say we're also, every creation of every writer belongs to them. It's creator-owned, so there's no way we're going to try to, like, we're not going to be stealing people's works. Everything belongs to the creator. If they want to leave, they can keep their thing if they want, you know. And we're looking towards the future.
Okay.
Always keeping an eye out, seeing what's going to happen next. The comic company is Clover Comics, but the comic book that we are publishing is More Adventure Comics, Volume 2, Issue 1. We're kind of starting over because Volume 1 was just on a CD. And it's kind of based on old 1940s style. Just that's where I got the name. It's kind of a mix of more fun comics and adventure comics. We do have a website. It's www.clovercomics.com.
but I'm going to, I don't want to.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
Hello.
Hi.
Where are you today?
Florfest Fair. I'm selling Kitty Corner.
What's Kitty Corner?
My zine and it's about cats for cat lovers. Cat poetry, cat drawings, and cat information.
Okay. Now, are you going to? How many have you sold?
I've sold 9.
9 copies.
9 copies.
Awesome. How about you? Hi.
Hi. I'm doing Lovely Star. I just wrote that a little while ago, and I've sold 4 copies. She sells more because they're colorful.
Okay.
I sold 10 copies now.
Wow.
That
Kitty Corner's gone off like hot wildfire, eh?
Well, look, and so he's doing all right, but not as much as him.
Wonderful.
I'm doing better than Will, but poor Will is really suffering there. He hasn't even sold one.
It's not really to sell as much as it is to actually just display your work.
Yeah.
How much is it?
It's a great book, but $2.
$2 like hers. Because I didn't want to charge more, but I didn't want to charge less, so it's okay.
There you go.
Here. Thank you so much.
Here we go.
I'm Brody Target.
Okay, and you're here at the Small Press Fair today, and just wondering, what book did you... Did you write the book yourself? And just tell me what, all about the process. But you have a book out there, right?
Yeah.
Is it completely written by yourself?
Yeah, completely.
Okay, what's your book called?
It's called ABC Book on Weapons. I have different letters for, A is for AK-47 and B is for a weapon. And I did the illustrations and the, what is it again? Awesome.
So how much are you selling the book for?
I wanted to sell it for about $8, and my teacher raised it up to 10, which I'm fine with that, but...
Okay. Are people buying it?
Yeah, I've sold 4 copies.
Okay, so you're a young author then, in a sense, but is it your first time to write a book?
Yeah, and selling one.
Okay, and the process, how was the process? Just
We just basically wrote it out, or typed it up, and most people drew their pictures, some people got it off the internet.
Okay.
I drew mine.
Is there anything else you want to say about this?
You should come down to here sometime and buy these books.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Okay, will you keep writing?
Probably.
Do you think you'll write, what kind of books do you think? Well, actually, what kind of books are you interested in reading?
Comics.
Okay. So have you tried your hand at comics? Okay, great. And how old are you?
12.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Yep, this is our first issue.
Do you want the bottle of juice?
How's it going, Eva? Eva?
Yeah?
What are you reading?
My stories, apparently.
I'm reading some more adventure comics by Will.
By Will, okay, great.
And this game.
Hi, I'm Frances Ward, and I'm a visual artist, editor, publisher, organizer of the Hamilton Small Press Fair, which is where we are at right now. This is the second one in Hamilton. They have them in Toronto as well. I usually go to those with my publishing company twice a year. They have one in the spring and one in the fall. And I started to think, wow, we should have one in Hamilton. So
right.
That's how that started.
Right. Okay. Has it been difficult to organize though?
The administrative things, getting the word out and getting, you know, the money to cover the venue and all that stuff too. Like, there's the financial things to think about. But I wouldn't say it's hugely difficult. Well, what we have at the Small Press Fair are small independent publishers. To get anything published, particularly these days, takes a lot of, like, a long time. If you submit stuff to the big publishers, chances are pretty slim, and it's a long time before you hear anything back. So people start to think, well, you know, maybe I should just publish it myself.
Right.
And that's how that, and yeah, it's easy to do. So.
Yeah. So,
and now with, you know, everybody's got a computer. So
I think I read somewhere that in the 1920s there were at least like 6,000 different newspapers. Is that right? In a town, maybe. Like, there were so many different... No, I don't know if that's true, but I'm just thinking that this almost seems like something, like a comeback now, you know? I'm just wondering...
That's,
you know,
right. Like, it's kind of like a grassroots sort of comeback of the personal touch. I mean, because we do get a lot of news from all over the world, but... It's you know, this is one way to find out what's going on in your community.
Right, and crash and create in your own.
That's right, yeah, and people get together from the community who have similar interests, and they get to meet each other. I mean, you don't make a lot of money by selling your stuff at a small press fair, but you meet other people that do the same thing, and you can trade things and get ideas, and yeah, it's fun, it's exciting.
Are you going to keep doing this?
We hope so, yeah. We'd like to make it an annual event, for sure. Yeah.
My daughter was asking about copyright, because she was thinking, okay, when you see someone like herself, she doesn't have money to go to a publisher or something, and she wanted to maybe to... How can you almost protect your work? How do people do that?
I have heard of people who do comic books and stuff like that, they will mail themselves a copy of the... and then leave it unopened or whatever, so that they have like a proof that they published something at a certain time and it's been date stamped by the post office. I've heard of that, but knowing if someone's using your work, it's hard to know in this, because of the internet, things can go everywhere.
Yeah,
you don't know what's happening to your work beyond a certain point, so that is a concern. But on the other hand, it's nice to get your work out there, sometimes it's not acknowledged. And it can be disturbing, actually, especially if it's used in a manner that you wouldn't like. But
back to the small press fair, I just wanted to ask you a bit just about what, if you walk in the door, what would you see? Like, what kind of works have people got here?
It can be anything from one-of-a-kind publications to like book arts and small magazines. Like, I personally publish a literary journal, and I get it printed, so I get, you know, many copies printed up. But anything, cartoons, drawings, things sewn together, you know, hand stitched together,
buttons,
comics.
Actually, I had another question about, because for instance, I just came up with the name Variety Room. Is it legal to just come up with a name and say it to yourself?
You can check. I mean, you can come up with a name, and if you want to register it as a business, then you have to go and check, do the business title search or whatever. But as far as just picking an... depends on what you're going to use it for, I guess. Yeah, like a rock group, you know, they pick a name when they're just starting out and they end up being big and someone else has the name or something, then it could be a problem. Right. Yeah.
Is there anything else you might want to talk about this whole idea again?
Just basically, it's fun to publish your own ideas and not have to go through the rigmarole of trying to get someone else to publish it. Yeah, it's freedom. It's a creative way of getting your ideas out there, and it's very free. And you know, we don't censor anything here. And there's, you know, there might be some things here at the fair that people might not find.
My daughter picked up a book. you know, I want to buy this book. It's all about the different kinds of poo.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I suppose if we came across something that was, really like hate literature or something like that, then we would have to say something. But there's some nudity and stuff like that.
I'm thinking of the other kids. There are kids as well who are, like you've got the Montessori school as well.
Right. So this is their second year here. Yeah. So they're having a lot of fun. I mean, I think it's pretty basic instinct. A lot of children do this. Yeah. They want to put together, package their ideas, and have something to give to people to read and communicate with people. It's a pretty basic desire. So.
Hi, my name's Lana. I'm going to talk about Kitty Corner.
So how did you feel when people were coming up and buying Kitty Corner at the small press fair? How did you feel?
I like it. I like making Kitty Corner and having people buy it. It's fun.
So tell me the different people that bought your zine. Was there any kids or?
No, it wasn't grown-ups. Just one kid bought it.
Mm-hmm. And I heard that your magazine is interested in seeing some of your work and having you submit some of your work.
Yes.
It's called Carousel Magazine, right?
Yeah.
So how much money did you make?
$34.
Wow. So how does that feel?
Great.
You're in business, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm working on Kitty Corner too.
What does Kitty Corner have in it? What?
It has cat poetry, mm-hmm. cat drawings, and cat information. Mm-hmm. And this time I'm going to have cat drawings, cat poetry, cat information. I'm going to interview people about their cats, and they can tell me stories about their cats, and I can put that in Kitty Corner on one of my pages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Kitty Corner is going to be coming out every month on Saturday.
Okay, so you're going to have a Kitty Corner once a month then, is it?
Yeah, on Saturday.
Okay. And how much is Kitty Corner?
$2.
And if people want to get a copy, they can just contact you at this address, right? Radio Free School address, okay? Tell me, you've got some more information. You're going to be joining the SPCA today, workshop. Do a workshop.
We're going to be doing a workshop at SPCA.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to see the animals
mm-hmm.
there
learn
about them. It's going to be fun. I love animals.
Mm-hmm. Of all kinds?
Yeah.
Or just cats most?
I'm looking for a job to walk dogs, mm-hmm. dental ones. Mm-hmm. I'm 8 years old and I want to walk dogs. I want a job to walk dogs.
Okay.
Like people don't have to pay me, I just want to walk dogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Bye. The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L 8S1CO.